right. You waited until I was taking a drink of water. It's like the waitress who always waits until you got a, yeah, waitress always waits until you get your mouth full to ask you how's the food. Hey, before I turn to the Word of God and talk with you about basic training, hopefully all of you received a letter about a transition that's happening in our youth department. Pastor Renee is been with us for 4 years, came to me a few months ago, said, I'm kind of sensing the Lord lead me to a place where I need to complete my education. And as we talked, it just seemed so right for him. If you're in any occupation or vocation at all, you know how important education is. And so he is deciding to transition and go back to school. And I share that for two reasons. Number one, we will be, to let you know that we will be praying for him on October 28th, the last Sunday of this month. And also for you to be praying for us as we pursue and seek to find the right person that God has for our youth. We know that the youth is an extremely important area in our church. I was a youth pastor when I first started in the ministry, and the youth that I pastored just had a tremendous impact on that fellowship. And I just want to make sure that we find the right person, and God is speaking to the right person to come here. So, having said that, let me say one more thing about the video that you just saw that I was one of the co-stars in. I just don't want any rumors going around that I was smoking a cigar, okay? So I just want to make sure if you didn't pick up that I had a piece of beef jerky in my mouth. He said that the guy, Josh, who was overseeing it, said that that'll help me with the accent. So that's the truth. I don't want you to think I was smoking a cigar. And second of all, we're now hoping that Hollywood will call, but I'm not... We're not waiting with bated breath or anything like that. So, Andrew already said that basic training begins today. Actually, I gave kind of a warm-up message last week about following God, because that really is what basic training does. It teaches us how to follow Him. Today, we're going to look at a specific subject, and for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about a survival toolkit. God wants to give to us six tools that will help us to survive, will help us to thrive, will help us to not only overcome the enemy, but conquer him in a decisive victory. And not only to do those types of things, but to connect with the living God in a very real way. Some of the authors and some people refer to what we're going to cover in the next 6 weeks as spiritual disciplines. How many have heard of that phrase? Spiritual disciplines. If you are interested in digging a little deeper, and I hope you are, I really do pray that you will consider becoming a part of these small groups that Andrew just talked about. But I also would like to invite you to purchase a couple of books, Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. If you'd like to know about the spiritual disciplines, this is a wonderful book that will educate you in a very deep way. There's also a book by my mentor in the early years of my ministry by Pastor Jack Hayford called The Spirit-Formed Life. And he goes through several of the spiritual disciplines that will really help you in this category as well. This series is going to require that you make some decisions. If you and I only come to church and listen to what is being said and don't engage in what God is revealing to us, it really won't do any good. So there will be some decisions that you will have to make. If you've ever been on Weight Watchers or if you've ever been on some diet program, you know how difficult it is to eat in restaurants. And you can stay at home and fix the right meals, but if you go out, it's very, very difficult. Illustration, if you go to De Chico's with a group of people and you're on Weight Watchers and they order the pasta and the meatballs and the bread that is so good there, and you're sitting there, you've got a decision to make. Am I going to have the vegetables with the chicken? And you'll have to go in your mind, well, I can get off my diet and get back on it tomorrow, or you'll have to make some tough decisions. No, you can do that, but I can't. Well, that's what this series is all about. These disciplines aren't just to be talked about. They are actually to be experienced and lived out in our lives. And so as we go through this, you're going to need to say, I'm going to use the tools that God gives me. I just don't want to know about the tools. I want to use the tools. Now, there are six tools we're going to talk about, and I'd like to have you turn to a person beside you if you're close enough to someone and come up with six tools that you would take with you on vacation if you had a toolbox and it was in your trunk and you have the choice of taking six tools with you. What tools would you take? Okay, did anybody say a hammer? You take a hammer. Anybody? Okay, we got some of the hammer. How about pliers? Someone said pliers. Anybody say flathead screwdriver? What about a Phillips head screwdriver? Okay, well, some of us are tracking on my toolbox. Did anybody say a crescent wrench? I was trying to unhook something in my refrigerator the other day, and I have a bunch of wrenches, but I had no wrench to fit that little sucker, and I didn't have a crescent wrench. Crescent wrench, you can adjust to fit any kind of thing. And so then my last one will be duct tape, because you can fix anything with duct tape. You can even fix grandkids who are talking too much. Now, all of our toolbox would probably be different. I've chosen these six tools because I feel like they are essential. The first one I have chosen is hearing God's voice. If I were going to oversee a new Christian's class, a person who just gave themselves to Jesus and they want to learn how to grow in God, how to defend themselves, the first thing I would talk to them about is hearing God's voice. That is a tool that you and I must have and use if we are going to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to know how to hear God's voice. There are several reasons why we need to hear God's voice, and the first one is found in Isaiah, and it has to do with direction. He will direct our steps. It's through His voice that He directs us. He shows us the way. Isaiah 30:21 says this. If you haven't memorized it, this would be a great verse to memorize. In this chapter, Israel's going through a real rebellious time. God communicates to them and says, I still love you. I'm still for you. And if you'll turn to me, here's what will happen. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You will have a personal navigation system. It's called the Holy Spirit. And when you are committed to Him, He has committed Himself to leading you. I think it's interesting that the Hebrew language there says He will hear a voice behind you. It suggests that there's someone sitting on His lap and He is giving them directions as to how to navigate. Not someone who's in front of, say, a little child trying to coax them to come, but the child has already given permission and is willing to follow, and He now is having them sit on His lap. I did that with Drew, my grandson, just a while back. I have a Jeep that I drive, and he was in the yard, and I was in the yard, he loves to play in the Jeep, so he's up there in the driver's seat, and I get in the driver's seat, and I did just what my dad did. I set him in my lap, and we drove around the block. Don't get paranoid and pray for me, okay, and don't report me to the police. It was just a cul-de-sac, and I was very safe, but he had the thrill of his life. And that's the Hebrew word picture that's happening here. God will put you in His lap, and He'll begin to tell you. He'll help you do what needs to do. When we hear God's voice, it changes our life. His word directs the lives of His people. Think about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Do you remember when God spoke to him? He says, I want you now to leave your home, and I'm going to lead you to a place, and you're going to be a person who I use to bless many people, and I'm going to bless you as well. That spoken word to him changed everything. When he heard that, it altered his whole destiny. If you go to the New Testament, I think of Paul when he was doing missionary work. How many of you know that we're supposed to be missionaries in the world? Even though I don't necessarily care for the colors of those signs when we're leaving the church, it says, attention, you're now entering the mission field. Well, the Bible tells us that the written word of God tells us that we're to be missions, but it's the spoken word that says, there's your target right there. Throughout this week, don't be surprised if God doesn't start speaking to you. We're talking about hearing God's voice. I believe he's going to open some deaf ears today. I believe he's going to open some spiritually deaf ears that so they begin to hear more clearly than ever before. Because it's the spoken word that gives the specifics to the written word. When I think about hearing God's voice, I think of the various kings in the Old Testament who depended upon his voice to direct them. They wanted to know, should I fight this enemy? Should we go? Is this the right time to do warfare? It was the spoken voice. When God said, yes, you'll win, that gave them confidence and assurance. We as a church are contemplating starting phase two of this building project. We started by building this facility to house the people that God were adding. God was adding, and we're now contemplating phase two, which is right out these doors and across the street, developing that segment where we have an auditorium that seats 300 or 400 people in a sit-down dinner fashion. Hopefully, have classrooms where we would have a preschool, because this community needs a preschool. From every study that I've done and the parents that I come into contact with, it would be a valuable asset. Well, we have assumed that God wants us to do that, and I believe that we are to pursue. But I told the elders who serve on the board this past week, I said, this month I want to hear God's voice. I don't want to move into anything just because it sounds right and it feels right and it's a good thing. I want to move with the confidence that God says we're supposed to do that. So I'm praying that God will speak a final word as we move. The word of God, when it comes to you, let me tell you, it can encourage you and it can strengthen you. I was counseling a couple this past week, and they were going through some challenges, and they came back the next day and not to see me, but after I got done, they were experiencing a lightness and as if the burden had lifted. And I says, well, you look like you're doing pretty good today. And I thought it was because of my wonderful counsel and the things that I had said to him. And they says, yeah, after we left you and we got home that night, someone called us and said, I have a word for you that God gave to me. And they gave us a couple of scriptures, and those scriptures were right on, and they encouraged us and changed us. See, that's the power of the spoken word. Second reason why I think this tool is to be the first tool that we put in our toolbox is because it has, when we receive it and we act in faith upon it, it accomplishes the purposes of God. You know, it says in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word is that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent. Man, that's a powerful text. If I can get on track with what God's saying and fulfill that, his purposes will be accomplished. I want you to get this tool because in the spoken word there is life. Matthew 4:4 says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. There's something about the spoken word that is so powerful. My wife has had the privilege of going on a number of missions trips. I've been on several myself. She has a real calling to cross-cultural ministries, and I'm available to the Lord to use me, but I don't feel called to that. But I've gone on a couple myself, but she's been on several, and when she's away, I always like to get letters and always anticipate a card or something from her. It's wonderful. But there's nothing like talking to her on the phone. And I can remember this one occasion when she was away. It was our longest time of separation. It was about 3 weeks, I believe it was, that time. And she called midway through. And man, just to hear her voice. It's one thing to read a note. It's one thing to think about her. All the memories, the pictures, they're wonderful. But that voice, I'm telling you, it just brought life to me. Now, a month later, when the bill was $160, I didn't appreciate that. And made me think a couple of times. But the word is powerful. But really the ultimate reason why I feel as though this is a tool that we need and the first tool is because it was through the spoken word that everything began. Back in Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light. He spoke it into being. Hebrews 1 says that he holds this planet together by his spoken and powerful word. Everyone in this room, if you have received Jesus as your personal Savior, you have a story. And I'll guarantee that if we could trace your story back to the beginning, it would be a point where God spoke to you something. Maybe it was through some trauma that you were experiencing. Maybe you failed in a business or your marriage went through a breakup. Maybe you had a great prosperity in God's world, or you were reading the Bible or in church or just talking in a coffee shop. Some point, God began to speak to you, and that began the process. I'm amazed at how many Christians I've talked to over the years, and maybe you too, and they would say to you, long before I ever received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I look back and I can even see him speaking to me and touching my life, even in those days. You see, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they had a broken relationship, but they could still hear God. The very next morning, it says, God came and walked with them and began to talk with them. So sin doesn't squelch the voice of God. He speaks to all people. And all we need to do is learn how to hear him. It's the beginning point. How many of you ever are here today? And by the way, I'm wearing camouflage pants here because, first of all, a couple of weeks ago, I felt like it would be a nice idea to do this series in camouflage. But it was more than that last Saturday night, not last yesterday, but two Saturday nights ago when I was praying for the service. I just felt quickened in my heart that God says, I want to establish a soldier mentality in the lives of people. So keep before the people the image of a soldier. And we have all of this up here, and it looks nice, but I'm telling you, it reminds us that there really is an enemy. There's an enemy who doesn't want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to be a part of small groups. He doesn't want you to study any material. He wants you to go just business as usual. Go to church for about 45 minutes to an hour and a half every week, and that's all you need. He doesn't want you to grow. There are some terrorists out there. They hate Americans. They hate the free life. And I'm not talking about they just dislike it. They hate it. If they have an opportunity, they will kill you. The enemy is like that. He will kill you. So for these next 6 weeks, I'm praying, God, give this pastor a soldier mentality, a discipline mentality. I know I'm tired, but I'm going to get up anyway and seek you because I got to be disciplined. I'm going to get myself in spiritual shape because that's what basic training is all about. I'm going to get my life together so that I can hear you and do what you want me to do. So hearing is important. Now, how many of you have ever played with Army men? I see your hands. A lot of guys, but maybe some girls too. When I was a kid, I used to play. I like this guy because he's kind of a sniper. I don't know if you probably can't see it, but he's laying on the ground. He's got this gun. He's aiming it. That's pretty cool. I used to love that. I could see things happen as a kid. And then I kind of like this one too, that was famous in the early years, and I'm sure now too. It's a guy with a gun, but he also has a grenade. Grenades can do something, man. I mean, they can really cause some havoc. And then we got this guy. He's kind of infantry, and he's kind of on his knees, got a gun too. As a kid, anything with guns or rocket launchers or something like that, I really enjoyed playing with. But there's in every pack of army men, there's always this one guy, and he has a telephone. He has a radio. And I can remember as a kid, like, that's a waste. Why is he even there? I mean, it's kind of, you can't play with him because he doesn't do anything. You know, he's not effective in the enemy, so I never usually take him out of the box. In talking with a military person this past week, it's interesting that when the enemy comes and you're in battle, that the two that they try to take out first is the leader. And evidently in some branches, maybe all branches, I guess the leaders don't wear their stripes or whatever. Yeah, the rank on their shoulders, so they won't know. So they try to take out the leader, and they try to take out the one in communication because they know that communication is very important. If I were going to attack America, I'll tell you, I'd find out where all the strategic computers are that communicate, and because if you can block communication, you have done a world of hurt. I know marriages are in trouble when they aren't talking to each other. And they may even be talking, but they're cold, they're calculated, and there's no love exchange between them. When communication stops, we've got some problems. And so in this battle, I believe for those reasons that the Lord says, the number one tool, and we can disagree on this, you probably have some different tools in your toolbox than I would take. Maybe you wouldn't take duct tape, but I would. But I tell you, this is one that I'm suggesting to you need. And I'm suggesting, if it's not the most important, it should be the very first one that you put in your box. Having said that now, let me say that there are two truths in Scripture that are never explained or proven. And number one, it's the truth of God's existence. You know, you have to believe it. You know, but he doesn't take time to prove himself. And the second truth is, he doesn't prove that he speaks. The Bible assumes that you believe he speaks. So that's the beginning point for us to understand. And I want to talk with you for the next few moments about five ways to experience hearing loss and give you a couple of ways to improve your hearing spiritually. I have a friend, Timmy Gravlin, who was born to Ed and Kathy Gravlin, who happen to be our personal friends. Ed and Kathy are the administrators at Valley Christian Center Church in Fresno. Longtime friends. They have four boys. We have two boys, and we grew up together for the first 12 years of their lives. On one day, our boys were out playing, and Timmy was the youngest, and he was on his little Hot Wheels, that's what it was called. And a lady by the name of Lil got into her big car, backed out, never even looked, and ran over him. And from that time on, he has experienced hearing loss to the point where his hearing aids, even today, and he's in his 20s now, they don't know if he'll totally lose his hearing, but he can hear just enough to understand some things, but he has to read lips. That happened to him because of an external accident. And there are some things that happen to us with regards to hearing God's voice that may be outside of ourselves, but there's a lot of us who experience hearing loss because of some decisions we make. And the first decision we make is that we have a long-distance relationship. And if you're taking notes, the first thing that causes hearing loss is maintaining a long-distance relationship. Revelation chapter 1, John, who writes that book, he says this, "On the Lord's Day, verse 10, chapter 1, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet." He was in the Spirit. He was close enough to God to hear what he was saying. Now, I have a monitor that we have for our grandson, and we can hear him and not be in the same room. But if you don't have that monitor, you can't hear him after you get to be a certain distance. If we took time to study what does it mean to be in the Spirit, it means to be close enough to God, following him so that you are able to hear. Have you ever been trying to listen to someone, but they're just far enough away that you know they're saying something, but you can't hear what they're saying? My wife and I kind of were at each other's, I wouldn't say at each other's throats, but we were edgy with each other yesterday. And actually the last couple of days, if we're honest, it's probably all of my fault, babe, so none of you. But we're just kind of on edge with each other, and I won't take time to tell you all that's going on, but just a little edgy. So last night I'm in the bathroom, and I'm giving our grandson a bath and getting him ready for bed. And she's out on the couch, and she's doing some computer work, studying, I guess, for some women's thing. And she'll oftentimes give him the bath, and you know, we go back and forth. But she's talking, and she hollers at me. Have you ever had someone do that in the house? They're out in this room when you're in here. "Hey, I'm reading a great article, and this person says, you know," and they go on to say something. And you're in there, and you know they're saying something, and you say, "I can't hear what he says. I can't hear what you're saying." And she thinks that you're saying, "What does he say?" And so she goes on to tell you what he's saying. It's kind of funny. You go, "I can't hear you." You know, and that's that frustration. We're just too far away. You know what I mean? You gotta. Now, if you only have a 1,000 square foot home, you're okay. But when you get a little bit bigger than that, you can get in places where you can't hear. Sometimes we try to carry on a long distance relationship, and it doesn't work. Hearing loss happens, secondly, when you only call upon God or you wait for an emergency before contacting him. Psalms 32:6, "Therefore let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him." It's not that God can't be reached in the waters, but the waters are so loud and they are so high and they're flowing over you that you're so emotionally strung out that you can't hear him. And a person who has not taken time to develop a relationship with God, talking to him daily, they're only waiting until they have a need. Listen, everybody will talk to God when they have a need. Even an atheist going down in a plane will talk to God. Will you turn to someone and say, "I talk to God"? Now, see, we don't have a problem with that, do we? But see, if you tell a person, "God talks to me." See, we're just saying, God talks to me, but it sounds weird. God talks to me. See, it's one thing to talk to God. All of us do that, but God really does want to talk to us. There's a lot of fear out there about God speaking to people. And maybe some of it's well-founded because there's a lot of wackos out there say, I heard God say this, and I heard God say that. You know, yeah, I was married for 5 years, and, you know, I just got sick of my husband, and God spoke to me and says, you know, I can go have another man. And so I left, and man, I'm so happy now. I got rid of good riddance to bad rubbish. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to me. I mean, there are people, believe it or not, who really believe that, you know. And so there's a fear of, well, fanaticism. There's also, in some circles, a fear that we're going to add to the written word of God. And I want you to know that the continued revelation of God is not happening. It's totally recorded right here. So when God speaks to us, it's always in accordance with his word. This is the basis, and we'll say more about that next week. But this is the basis. This is how we discern that God is speaking to us. But I'll tell you, even though the Bible tells me everything I need to know, it doesn't tell me everything I want to know. And so the Holy Spirit speaks, and I would say, please don't be so afraid that you just stop believing that God speaks, because he is speaking. Throughout the Bible, there isn't virtually one person he doesn't speak to out there who wants to hear him and who is following him. All the way from Adam and Eve, all the way to John and Revelation, God is speaking to mankind. But we will not hear him, and our hearing will be diminished if we only call upon him in emergency or need. At those points, it's almost like talking to a drunk, a man or a woman who's drunk so much that they can't even hear what you're saying. Giving counsel to a person who's in emotional turmoil, it goes right over their head. They're so caught up with what's happening, they can't hear the truth of things. And you can guard yourself by having a relationship on an ongoing basis. Hearing loss happens, thirdly, when you don't identify the other voices that are going off and recognize the distortions. Proverbs 1:20 says, "Wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square." There are a lot of impersonators out there today. Back in my day, one of the great impersonators was Rich Little. How many of you are old enough to remember him? I was, by the way, that kid on the that little promo that we did, his name's Josh, and I looked at him before that, we were starting to shoot that, and I says, "Josh, your part is going to be kind of like Gomer Pyle." And he says, "Well, who's Gomer Pyle?" Right then, I knew I was getting old. So I don't know who the updated impersonators were. I listened to a comedian a couple of nights ago, and it's kind of hard to find clean comedians on the television, but whenever you find a clean one, if they can impersonate people and sound like President Bush or Clinton or some of these famous people, it's always entertaining to listen to them and what they do. But there are a lot of impersonators, and it sounds like God, but it really isn't God. We have to distinguish and learn his voice. John 10 says, if you're following God, you'll know his voice. I came home last week, and this was the first time it had ever happened. It just thrilled my heart. When I come into the, when I usually come home from work, I check to see if Drew, our grandson, is sleeping. We call him Drewstructo, because he's in that phase where he's destroying everything. I don't feel like that's bad, because God said to Jeremiah, "You're going to break down and tear apart and throw out, and then you're going to build." So I'm working through this stage. But in this stage, one of the favorite times that we have is when he's asleep. And so when we come home, we always want to come in very quietly so we won't wake him up if he is napping. So I came in the other day and opened the door and looked, and his door was open, so I knew he was up. So before I came in, I just stood up there and says, "Where's my grandson? Where's Drew boy? Hey, Drew, come here, man. What are you doing?" And I could hear in the other room, he says, "Poppy, Poppy, Poppy," even before he saw my face. Now, he's 20 months old, and that's the first time I've heard it. It takes a while to distinguish his face, because his voice, because sometimes it's not always clear. I think of the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation is a voice that you and I hear a lot of times, and it beats us up. Some of you have heard that voice this last week. "You idiot. How can you be so stupid? You call yourself a Christian. I thought you loved you. And you go on and on. That's the voice of condemnation. It focuses on what you have done. But conviction is similar, but it doesn't focus on what you've done. It points out what you've done, but it focuses on what you now can do in view of that. You see the difference there? And sometimes it's just a matter of focus. It's sometimes just a matter of tone. When someone comes up like Lois did today, or we are a church that believes God speaks, and the Bible talks about prophecy. And so there are times when we will have people come up and they have heard something and they feel like it's from God. Sometimes we hit it, sometimes we don't. That's part of the human working through the humanness of our being. We're learning to hear God. I don't claim to hear God 100% of the time. Sometimes I've been wrong, and that's where I have to go back and repent. But when someone comes up to the platform and starts to speak to you, I want to know, first of all, who they are. I want to know their life. And I'm not looking just for content. I'm also looking for the tone of the voice. You know, is it the tone that God has? We have to pick those things up if we're going to hear God's voice. I think of the Mormon church today. This is not a pot shot at the Mormon church. It is not a biased personal opinion. It's based upon fact. When the Mormon church, when you hear them speak about Jesus, the word Jesus is familiar to all of us. But it's a totally different Jesus than you and I talk about. It's not the Jesus that's in the Word. It's a Jesus who was born and grew through obedience and through overcoming to become God. But any of you can be like Jesus. You can be a God too. There's a different there's a totally different message. And most people don't hear it. It sounds the same, but it's not the same. 1 John says, you and I must develop a spirit of discernment. You must try the spirits. You must seek to understand that God's voice, because sometimes it can be a little bit confusing. The fourth way to experience a hearing loss is if you refuse to listen. Listen to this terrible, terrible comment about the Israelites in Jeremiah 22:21. I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not listen. This has been your practice from your youth, that you have not obeyed my voice. When you refuse to listen, you know, God talks to you, but you refuse to listen. I used to hate it when my sisters, I was brought up in a family of seven people. Mom and dad would be nine, but seven brothers and sisters. And my sisters sometimes would gang up on me. And when I would start talking, they'd go like this, la, 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 tick me off. They wouldn't listen to me. It's frustrating to have someone to not listen. How many times did my mother say, am I talking to hear myself talk? You know, she wanted me to hear and respond. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation like parents do oftentimes, and their children just won't listen to them. They go out and they do their own thing, and then they come back pregnant with problems. And it just changes everything. And it's sad that godly kids, some of them brought up in the church all their lives, and they just won't listen. When you refuse to listen and you insist on doing your own thing, you'll get into problems. You'll have a loss of hearing. And last of all, you'll experience a hearing loss if you don't read God's word, a written word. We'll say more about that next week, but it is the foundation for learning how to hear God's voice. Let me conclude by giving you three things that will help us improve our hearing. Number one, your hearing will improve. Be kind of like a hearing aid. It'll help you hear if you will yield to the pressure principle. Excuse me, if you don't yield to the pressure principle. Jonah 1:1-3 says this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah, and I put this in kind of a parenthesis, didn't want to hear what God had to say. So he ran away from the Lord, and he headed for Tarshish. The pressure principle is, I want God to tell me what I want him to tell me. I want to hear what I want to hear. I really want to believe a lie. No, I wouldn't admit that I want to believe a lie, but I'm so driven by my desires that I want to hear what you have to say only if it gratifies my desires. See, now, in the Old Testament, there were prophets that were called upon to give prophecies. But there were times when the king would say, I want you to be quiet unless you have something positive to say. And also, I want you to say something positive, even if it's not true. Listen to Isaiah 30, verse 10. Tell the prophet, shut up. We don't want any more of your reports. They say, don't tell us the truth. Tell us nice things. Tell us lies. That's called false prophecy. Well, Pastor, come on, that's absurd. No one would want to do that today. Is that true? Sometimes we want something so bad that all of a sudden we begin to hear God's voice speak to us. God, you want me to have that house, don't you? Yes, I know you do. You've promised it to me. Yes, my son, I have. You see, the thing is, if you really want God to say what you want Him to say, you'll start rationalizing things and justifying things in such a way that it really does sound like Him. Yes, my son, I know that you only make $8 an hour. I know that the house is $340,000 and the payments are more than you actually bring in, but I'm on your side. I will provide. Step out in faith. Take my hand and I will lead you through this time so that you can have what you want. See, when we're driven by desire, we hear these voices, but they're really not God speaking to us. And we get ourselves into a whole lot of trouble. Why do you think we have so many, and some of them are Christians, so many people upside down in their mortgages today? Because they got someone who will feed them the lie. Oh, that's okay, my son. We're in the banking institution. And I know you only make $8 an hour, but we have a creative way of helping you get what you want. Yes, it is God. Honey, He said that they can do it. That's God. That's confirmation. Bible says that we're supposed to get confirmation. This is confirmation. You see how easily we are deceived because now we've got someone who tells us a lie. If you'll do this and this, you can have what you want. You must reach a point in your Christian life, and I must too, where I say, Father, I really want to know the truth. I really want to know the truth. I really want you to tell me, even if it hurts, and sometimes God's word hurts. Someone corrected me this past week, and you know, it stung a little bit. But I received it because I knew it was from the Lord. And sometimes God's word doesn't always feel good. But we must reach a place that God, really, I'm going to quiet myself before you. What do you really want to say to me? What are you really saying? The second thing that will increase your hearing is your hearing will improve when you learn to accept the donkey principle. How many of you remember a guy by the name of Balaam in the Old Testament? Balaam was a prophet, and a king wanted his services. And the king says, Balaam, come and curse this country called Israel, because these people are coming into my land, they're numerous, and we're going to be overcome. And I know you have power because you're a prophet, so come. And he sent dignitaries to ask him, and Balaam said, well, let me ask God. So he went to ask God. He said, you stay overnight, and tomorrow I'll give you the answer. He gets up the next morning, he comes to the guys, and he says, I can't go with you because God says that that nation's blessed. And so he won't allow me to speak a curse. I can only speak blessing. So they went away, told the king. So what the king did, Barak, he sent higher dignitaries. And he said to Balaam, he says, listen, money is no object. I will give you whatever you want, but I need you to come and say this. You see, and then he says this. He says, well, stay overnight again. Let me check it out with God again. See, he already knew what God said. But something with that money issue began to contaminate his heart. I meet on the first Tuesday of every month at 11 o'clock in the day and at 7 o'clock at night, generally speaking, with some guys who are interested in growing in leadership. And if you are out here and you would like to be involved in a group growing in leadership, please just send me an email, tim@kcfchurch.org. Let me know your desire and I'll contact you and we'll sit down and see if you're a candidate for that. But we met with these guys and we started talking about some of the basic things that are needed for the ministry, basic training. So I said, let's start our group this month by talking about some of those things. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 5, and 1 Peter 5 talks about don't do anything for filthy money's sake. And sometimes money can begin to contaminate you. And it looks like that's what happened with Balaam. So he goes back, and it says God let him go, but he was angry with him. So Balaam got in his buggy and with his donkey, and he just started down the road, and that donkey sees this angel, and all of a sudden he just stops. And Balaam can't see the angel, but he gets ticked off, and so he gets off and he beats this donkey. So finally gets back on the donkey, goes a little bit further, and sees the angel again. And this time it's kind of in a narrow place, and the donkey gets startled and goes like this, and it crushes his foot. And boy, I'm telling you, Balaam is ticked off now, and he gets out and beats him again. He does this three times. And all of a sudden, God speaks, and he speaks through the donkey. He gives the donkey the ability to speak. And it's kind of funny because now here we have Balaam talking to his donkey. And the point is that sometimes you and I can think that some people are donkeys and they're not worth being listened to. Sometimes young people can consider their parents donkeys and don't want to listen to them. Sometimes you can think that boss of yours doesn't know the south end from the north end and you don't want to listen to him. Husbands, sometimes God can talk to you through your wife, believe that or not. Wives, even if your husband isn't following the Lord a whole lot, you know, sometimes God can speak to you through him too. Reminds me of that old joke of where this, maybe you've heard it before, this honeymoon couple got married and they got there on the buggy and the mule and the donkey was taking them on down the road to their honeymoon location. Donkey stops, won't go, so the man gets off, takes a 2x4 and just hits that donkey right in the middle of the head. Gets back on, the donkey goes a little bit further, stops, man gets out, and he hits it again and just beats the tar out of it. Finally, the donkey goes on a little bit longer and stops a third time, just like the story in Numbers about Balaam. Stops a third time, this newlywed, he wants to get onto his honeymoon spot, and so he just takes this boy, he beats it mercilessly. He says, I told you once, I've told you twice, I've told you three times, pulls out his shotgun and shoots the donkey. The wife, his newlywed bride, just goes berserk. You got an anger problem. You didn't tell me you needed to be in anger management. Goes on and on. And he looks at her and says, that's once. Has absolutely nothing to do with my message, but I remembered it, so I want to tell you. Wasn't really that funny, was it? You almost had to be there. It was 30 years ago. You have to be willing to have God say what he wants to say. Take the pressure off him. Don't pressure him to say what you want. You have to be able to be willing to listen to who he wants to speak through. And last of all, number three, your hearing will improve when you decide to hear the message and not kill the messenger. You know, we're not always going to do things perfectly. Sometimes I will contact you or you'll contact me or we'll contact each other, and what we have to say to each other, it may not come across the best way. But if it's the truth, receive it anyway. John talks about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, you brood of vipers. Man, that's pretty harsh material. Now, if I stood up here this week and says, you bunch of sluggards, come on, let's go. I mean, that's pretty harsh terminology. Jesus says, you hypocrites. You're just listening. You're not doing anything. You're just listening. He was pretty harsh. Sometimes we can get our focus on the way things are done instead of what is done. I've seen it time and time again where someone approaches someone and they try to help them, but they do it the wrong way, and this person now focuses on the way that they did it. Are you tracking with me? And you know, none of us are always going to do it the right way, but let's be committed to doing the right thing, and God help us at those times. I had a person come up to me several years ago, and I can still see his face. His name was Dick, and he meant well. He just came up and says, Pastor, he says, I just want you to know I've never liked you. So I'm smiling, and the first thought that came to my mind was, well, I've never liked me either, so that's something we have in common. Maybe we can build a relationship. But what he was trying to say is, but God's given me a love for you. But the way he did it wasn't necessarily the best way. At first it was kind of harsh. Sometimes we have to hear the truth, even though it's not maybe from the person that we choose or in the right way that we choose. If it's truth, I'm telling you, you don't want to disregard it. And last of all, you will improve your hearing when you respond in faith. James 1, 22 through 23 makes it very, very clear that when Jesus speaks to us, it's not just a matter of listening and hearing, it's a matter of doing. He says, we can't be hearers of the word, but doers only. And that's why basic training is all about making decisions. I got to make decisions about hearing God's voice. I got to make a decision about using these tools. Habakkuk 2:1 says this, I will stand on my guard post and station myself before God, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me. This is a day and age where you and I must buy ourselves a spiritual iPod, just like these kids have got. And they got this iPod, and it goes up to their ears, and they got them in there, and they got music going on, and they're just going through life, and they don't hear a lot of the voices. Let me tell you, God's voice is to be like that to us. God, I want to hear your voice louder than I hear any other voice. I want a spiritual iPod. I want to walk on a day-by-day basis so that I can hear you above all the other sounds and all the other voices. Oh, would you overcome me with the sound of your voice? Now, here's something. God is speaking to us in various areas in our life. Do you know he wants to say something to you in your financial area? God wants to say something to you in the vocation that you have chosen. He has something to say to you in your personal life, what you look at and where you go and how you talk. He wants to say something to you in your home life. How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your husband? What's going on with the kids? There's areas where he wants to speak into your life. And I want to encourage you this week to be like Habakkuk, that prophet, and say, I'm going to set myself. I'm going to set on the edge of my seat, as Steve Manning said a couple of weeks ago, who was visiting a visiting missionary. I'm going to sit on the edge of my seat, asking you to speak into my home life, speak into my personal life, speak into my financial life, speak into my social life. There may even be this morning, the Holy Spirit, as we even mentioned those areas, he's saying something to some of you. Maybe there's some friends that you need to give up. Maybe there's some things that you've looked at that he says, hey, that wasn't really healthy for you. Or maybe last week you responded positively against temptation. He said, hey, I want to commend you today. You stood strong this last week. You've fallen a lot of times, but you didn't fall last week. I commend you for this. See, God has something to say to us. Will we have ears to hear? New Testament says he's given us ears. Will we hear what the Spirit has to say to us? With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, God wants to speak into our spiritual lives as well, our spiritual lives. There may be some here today that you have never heard Jesus say to you, I invite you to come into my family. I invite you to give up your self-will. I invite you to make me Lord, and I will direct your paths. If you're here today and you've never made a decision to embrace Jesus Christ, you've never made a decision to let him lead you, to be your boss, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you and believe that God will do something in your life. See, he's speaking an invitation to some who need to hear that today. Yes, I see that hand over here. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. God's speaking. He's inviting you. Yes, yes. Okay, yeah. He's here. Something's happening. See, he's talking to you. Yes. Yes. He's speaking to you. There's something. He's going to change you. There's something that's happening now. God, we just respond to you by giving you thanks. Would you repeat this prayer after me on behalf of those who raise their hands and on behalf of those who, all of us who know Jesus? Would you say, Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you speak to us. You have revealed to us that you're willing to save us. You're willing to forgive us of our sins, to give us a brand new start. If we will just turn to you and embrace you and accept you, your life will start to happen in me. I repent of my sins. I turn to you today because I've heard your invitation. Have your way in my life. Lead me now, I pray. Now, Father, as we've all prayed that, I think it's a prayer that I prayed years ago. I prayed again today, and it's valid for me personally, but it's especially valid for those who raise their hands. And I pray, God, that even as they have heard this invitation, the spoken word, that life would begin to happen in them, Jesus, now. Would you help us, God, to be a people who not only hear, but respond to your truth? Would you stand with me as we conclude? I'm going to ask those who are on the prayer team and pastors and elders to come and just be down front. And if you did raise your hand, we would love to just pray with you before you leave. I'd like to give you some material to help you start in your walk with the Lord. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to pay for anything. It's not a request for that. Just come down. Let us pray for you. Send you on your way. But for those of us who already know the Lord and are going, would you this week just be like Habakkuk and say, God, I'm going to set myself in a place to hear you. I don't want to hear the voices that are out there. I don't want to hear the emotional cries that stir within me. I want to really hear your voice. And he will be faithful to speak to you. And I'm telling you, it's the only way to survive in the battle. You got to hear that voice behind you saying, go this way and go that way. Touch your ears just before we leave. Father, we touch our ears today. Remove any deafness, any hearing loss that we have had because we've had a long-distance relationship with you. We want to deal with that today. We want to get close to you. Anytime, Lord, some of us have become just people who call on you when we have need, would you remove that blockage from our ears so that now we make a decision to communicate with you daily, Lord? Would you give us an ability to distinguish those voices that come through our ears and distinguish the tone and if they're from you or not? Give us that discerning spirit. Oh, Father, I ask you to help us be not just hearers but doers of the word as well. And we will give you praise. We honor you, praise you, and give you our hearts today. Amen. Blessings, guys. Have a great rest.